In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be buried in an avalanche?
Weird foreign feeling of despair.
Or how it feels to crash a skydive.
I remember hearing a thud, feeling my body hit the ground.
Or how you would react if you were being attacked by an alligator.
At the end of my leg is this huge alligator head on my leg.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a victim of an attack.
Dragging me into the bathroom and saying, I'm going to kill you, now you're going to die.
You'll hear from a man who discovered a baby.
How could this be? How could there be a baby on the ground?
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Clinky County 911. There's a man at my back door. He's trying to get in.
What Was That Like is a podcast about real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app or at whatwasthatlike.com.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I'm a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
On this episode, commemorating the anniversary of the death of Sherman H. Skolnick, JFK assassination research pioneer, and the man who sent corrupt judges and even a former governor to jail.
The New York Times wrote that Sherman Skolnick carved a full-time career as a modern-day Robin Hood rescuing the downtrodden. He really was an amazing man. He, Mae Brussel, and Penn Jones were the first ones really looking into the Kennedy assassination and raising questions like no one else did.
This podcast is brought to you by Paranormal Contractors. Paranormal Contractors is a division of Crime and Trauma Scene Cleaners. If you have unwanted paranormal activity in your home or business, it's time to bring in the professionals. Paranormal Contractors utilize the latest technology to investigate, authenticate, and remediate your ghost or demon problem. Call them at 1-866-724-0800, 1-866-724-0800, or email them at paranormalcontractors@gmail.com. Check out their YouTube channel, Paranormal Contractors, for things that go bump in the night.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett. Pursuing the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from his studio beneath the stairs, here's Richard Serrett.
Welcome to your Friday. Wow, finally, a warm, sunny day. We have had very cool and very wet spring weather up here so far. I was speaking to a gentleman in Boulder, Colorado yesterday, a global warming skeptic, and here we are approaching Memorial Day weekend down there, and they still have snow in Boulder, Colorado. That conversation, incidentally, will be coming up next week on Conspiracy Unlimited. May 21st marked the anniversary of the death of Sherman Skolnick, who sent numerous corrupt officials to jail. If you haven't heard about Sherman, you're about to learn a lot. My media scientist friend Nelson Thal is standing by. He knew Sherman well. And because it's Friday, that means a visit from Christian Dicardieu, the real John Constantine from Paranormal Contractors.
In 1994, a book came out, heavily documented, called The Spider's Web, How the Bush White House Armed Saddam. And the book 10 years ago should have been widely publicized, and it was not. And when you add that to the documents that you have supplied, which are up on cloakanddagger.ca, it gives a very complete picture of what we're facing here. And let's face it, they talk about North Korea, nuclear. ABB is a Swiss company that with worldwide facilities that supplied the nuclear equipment to North Korea. Who has been a director of that? Donald Rumsfeld. Does that tell you something? Further than that, Tom, you supplied a document showing Hillary Rodham Clinton's criminality in respect to supplying nuclear to North Korea. So these situations where they alarm fellow Americans with Saddam, with Baghdad, with North Korea, to justify taking away our inalienable rights.
That's the man himself, Sherman Skolnick, assassination researcher and the founder of the Committee to Clean Up the Courts. Here to help me celebrate Skolnick's life is Nelson Thal. Nelson is recognized as one of the world's leading authorities on the science of communication, media, and process analysis. His expertise has afforded him the opportunity to define law terms for the Federal Court of Canada and develop a television series with Dr. Timothy Leary. Bill Gates and Peter Lloyd invited Nelson to contribute an essay to the book Web Weaving. While a graduate student at the University of Toronto with Professor Marshall McLuhan, Nelson became a McLuhan protege and served as the president of the Marshall McLuhan Center on Global Communications from 1990 to 1995. He has served on the boards of directors of Torstar, Stanley Media Inc., Peace Arch Films and Entertainment, and other publicly traded media companies. He's a lecturer, author, and has been a consultant to companies in the United States, Russia, Canada, and Great Britain. Nelson Thal, welcome back to Conspiracy Unlimited. How are you, my friend?
Very good. It's great being back here, Rich.
We're commemorating the anniversary of Sherman H. Skolnick's death. He passed away May 21st, 2006. I'm guessing there are some people out there listening who've never heard of Sherman H. Skolnick. First, just explain why he is important, and then we'll talk a little bit about his early life.
Absolutely. Well, he's the Albert Einstein of criminal investigators, the Perry Mason of the group. Without him, we wouldn't be talking about conspiracy theory, probably, or as head of the game as we are, thanks to him.
You've compared him to other investigators like Penn Jones and Mae Brussel.
Yeah, he certainly was in a league all his own with Jones and with Brussel. And he really was, it's a true-to-life story about a downtrodden boy who at age, in 1937, at age seven, became a victim of polio and confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life. But Sherman Skolnick overcame his disability, and in 1969, Time magazine wrote that Skolnick became, quote, the great American judge buster, unquote.
Well, we should talk about what was happening in Chicago, Cook County, which is no secret, ripe with corruption. Certainly, Mayor Daley was no fan of Sherman Skolnick, and as we'll discuss, he sent not only some corrupt judges to jail, but also a former governor of Chicago, or of Illinois, Otto Kerner. But let's start with what was happening in Chicago in the early 60s that caused him to start investigating.
Well, let's talk. In 1958, when Skolnick was 28 years old, his parents had their life savings stolen by a crooked stockbroker. Now, they went to court. His parents sought to bring their cases before a judge, but a justice of the high court, Otto Kerner, wouldn't hear the case. Why, as Skolnick used to say? Because they refused to donate money to the judge's reelection campaign. So the Skolnicks had stumbled onto a corrupt judge. And that's where it all started, because Sherman privately vowed to wreck him. And his parents said, look, how can a little man like you wreck a powerful state of Illinois Supreme Court judge? As you say, Kerner had been a two-time governor of the state of Illinois and then made himself a judge. And how he did it and how he got that fame, we're going to talk about today.
All right. So how did he begin investigating the former governor, now Illinois State Supreme Court Judge Otto Kerner? What did he find?
Well, what happened was he had gone to a school at University of Chicago for the destitute and downtrodden. His mother wrote a letter to President Roosevelt and said, hey, my boy's in a wheelchair like you, what can you do about it? He sent him to a special crippled children's home on the campus of University of Chicago. Sherman was rubbing shoulders with all the physicists and nuclear people at the University of Chicago and all sorts of law professors. And he self-studied the legal system, and he developed and invented what he called guerrilla law tactics, which were unorthodox but legal means of fighting judicial impropriety. Sherman said, if you can't persuade them on the law, the facts, or the merit of a thing, then you had better do closet work. And Sherman's closet work dug up secrets and dirty laundry about his adversary, Judge Otto Kerner.
Overwhelmed by investing?
If you're anything like us, the hardest part is getting started. That's why we created the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Our goal is to help simplify money so it can work for you.
We invite guests to demystify investing.
At least try to be setting aside like the minimum 10% into the 401k.
We'll teach you the basics of the market.
Yeah, I think compound interest should be at the start of any discussion about investing. And
we've had investment professionals who teach in a simple way.
A valuation-driven bear market, you know, we haven't really seen yet, and I think everyone's thinking about it, but we haven't really seen yet.
Our Q&A episodes feature questions from listeners just like you.
So what do you think about the situation with ETBI, which is Activision?
I'm Dave Ahern.
And I'm Andrew Sather.
And we hope you join us on the Investing for Beginners podcast.
On the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Well, what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Gold. And we're the host of the Underworld Podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it. And we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld Podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
And so did he have private investigators working for him? I mean, I couldn't imagine he could afford that. How did he do the research? How did he investigate? I mean, he was confined to a wheelchair.
Exactly. And he had a lady who did Harriet Sherman was her name. And she did his legwork. And he would send her out to various places in order to places which she shouldn't have been. But, you know, what they do is she would dress up as an old woman, the cleaning lady, move into places, move and be able to get into the files. And really what happened was the closet work that he did revealed evidence that 30 high court judges and 9 Chicago mobsters were in business together. They co-owned the Civic Center Bank, which happened to be right across the street from the courthouse. And Kerner was one of the largest stockholders. He was taking bribes from the mafia bosses and letting it alter his court decisions. Now, Skolnick's favorite tactic was to move that a judge disqualify himself from a case because of alleged bias. And what happened was he used the legal motion amici curiae, which is a Latin term which means a friend of the court. So as an amici curiae, he approached the court and went before what he knew was the corrupt judge and said, "Your Honor, I've discovered fraud upon the court." Another legal term Sherman learned from his self-study. And he charged Chief Justice Kerner with taking bribes. Now, the judge subpoenaed Sherman to reveal his sources. Skolnick vowed never to reveal his sources. So when Sherman refused, he was sentenced to jail. But when pictures of Skolnick in his wheelchair being loaded into a police paddy wagon by big, bulky court officers made front page news, he immediately won the public sympathy. He called for a grand jury to examine his charges, and upon completion of their investigation, the grand jury recommended the removal of the corrupt judges. So with his evidence rich, with his evidence validated, he was released from jail, and really news of his triumph reached the White House. President Nixon was informed that the headlines in Chicago were reading, a citizen gadfly became the public's hero, and that's how he did it.
And how what happened to Otto Kerner, the former governor?
Kerner went to jail, went to prison. Sherman escorted him to the prison, actually, and he used to say he threw away the key, although he was in prison only about, well, not only, but 3 to 4 years, which is enough. But Sherman recovered the money stolen from his parents, by the way. And yes, this guy went to penitentiary. Kerner went to jail, and eventually he would go on to establish the Citizens Committee to clean up the courts, an organization which two things that we should mention. One, over his lifetime, he put 60 judges off the bench, 6-0, 20 of them into jail. And upon his retirement years later, the New York Times wrote that Sherman Skolnick carved a full-time career as a modern-day Robin Hood rescuing the downtrodden. He really was an amazing man. And deserves our respect, and we should mention and recognize the anniversary of his passing, because he, Mae Brussel, and Penn Jones were the first ones going into and really looking into the Kennedy assassination and raising questions like no one else did.
All this from his little bungalow on the south side of Chicago, again confined to a wheelchair since the age of 7.
Yes.
We'll come back to his research into the JFK assassination and also JFK Jr. But how did you hook up with Sherman Skolnick?
Well, I hooked up with him because in the early 70s, I was started to attend. Well, I first got into the Kennedy assassination started to read the headlines in the paper in Toronto, even Toronto, about Clay Shaw trial, that Clay Shaw was charged with the murder of the president. And in 1969, there was the Clay Shaw trial. I read about that. And I started to get into it. And by 1975, I think that was the first time I attended the the JFK Lancer conventions in Dallas.
Right.
It was, and I think it was 75, I may be off by a year or two, like it's been so long. And anyway, that's where I met Sherman. I don't think I met him in 75 at the first one, but I used to go every year. And at one of those, between 75 and before 80, before Reagan got in, I met him at but I never really got to know him then. I met him, and I found out about his telephone. What he was doing is he was putting out – he had telephone lines. It was the only – it was the internet of the day, and you would call into Chicago, 312-731-1100, his main number, and you would get the underground news that you could get nowhere else, and he would put it out every day or every other day on his phone lines, and he used – his phone lines to get the truth out.
This is remarkable. Obviously, this is, you know, decades before podcasting, before YouTube, before the internet. This is how he would disseminate his information. You would call in and get it. Was it a recording?
Yes, it was a recording. And he had two or three lines. And one line was hotline news. And a second one was local news, Chicago local news. And the third line was a satire he would do on, you know, you'd go, he'd go, hello, Federal Reserve. Yeah. You know? And he would pretend and put on this. It was his, he had a brilliant, and his humor was brilliant.
How was he funded? I mean, how was he able to do all of this research and fund all of this work?
Well, you know what? It was very much volunteer. He had to pay for the phone lines, but you know, the phone lines weren't that expensive. He had his Citizens Committee to clean up the courts. Remember, he started the Citizens Committee to clean up the courts after he got out of jail, and he was publicized. He got big publicity. Remember, Time Magazine in 69 called him that. New York Times gave him press. He had people that he knew in the area. They donated money, you know, 15 bucks here, 5 bucks here, a little bit here, a little bit there. And he didn't have a big nut to carry because the phone lines, I don't know the cost of the phone lines, but in the 70s, if you were to rent phone lines from the local whatever the company, couldn't have been, he had enough money to cover that. And he had volunteers who volunteered their time to go and help them. I do know this. Sherman told me, because years later I got to know him well, and I did, he became my co-host on a Cloak and Dagger on a different radio station, but a blowtorch station, as Sherman said. But what I found out from him is he had this unique talent, he told me, that if he could read your handwriting, he could tell a lot about your history and who you were and what you owned and what you may have done wrong. He had this unique ability. I don't know. I never went into details because he wouldn't talk about it. But for instance, with some of the judges, what he would do is he would have Harriet Sherman go to the hairdresser's salon where the judge's wife, I know this was a case he told me, the judge's wife, they found out where the judge's wife went to the hairdresser. Harriet would go in and sit beside her and chum with her over a period of time, get to know her, and then get invited to her house for tea. And while at the house for tea, she went up to the fireplace mantel and saw a birthday card and took it. And all it had was, happy birthday, dear, love, so-and-so, whichever the judge's name. And she gave that to Sherman, and from that card, he could find out all sorts of corrupt things about the judge from his handwriting analysis. He had this unique talent.
Hmm. And what sort of stories did you discuss on Cloak and Dagger back in the heady days of Mojo Radio here in Toronto, AM 640, Cloak and Dagger? Yeah.
Oh, just everything that you can imagine, that all the conspiracies from JFK, John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, and the corruption in Chicago. We talked about everything, but Sherman would start it off and say, we're scraping the BS off the truth. We're here to scrape the BS off the truth. And remember, he used to, on his telephone lines, talk about the liars and whores of the oil-soaked spiral monopoly press.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
We all enjoy a little mystery. Every other week, one strange thing presents forgotten stories from America's newspaper archives. They all have something in common. A single element that can't quite be explained. Join us on One Strange Thing, and you'll hear about a man who was literally stricken with genius. A 21st century child who remembered piloting a World War II bomber. A mysterious, unidentifiable blob in Texas. And then there was the lizard man stalking through small-town South Carolina. From cryptids and disappearances to modern-day miracles, One Strange Thing brings you stories that are very real and just a little otherworldly. Subscribe now, wherever you listen.
Okay, there is more of my conversation with Nelson Thal discussing the life and times of corrupt judge buster Sherman Skolnick. Stay with us. Christian D. Cadieux from Paranormal Contractors, a division of crime and trauma scene cleaners, is here once again. Hey, Christian, how are you?
I'm doing well, Richard. How are you?
Terrific. Well, let's talk a little bit about the parent company of Paranormal Contractors. I just mentioned crime and trauma scene cleaners. You specialize in decontamination after a decomposition in a home or business or some sort of a tragic, violent crime, etc. You had an interesting case recently involving a house chock full of cats. Tell me about it.
There was a recent incident that took place in the city here, and an individual who had approximately 300 cats, you know, the stereotypical, the old lady with 300 cats. It was quite the scenario because it's not only crime and traumatic events that we deal with. We certainly deal with anything that poses a threat to humans as far as biological hazards, sometimes chemical, but also infectious diseases such as H1N1, et cetera, et cetera. But in this particular case, it was quite interesting because the bylaw of the city here only allows for 6 cats, and clearly this individual by 294. So with that being said, it was quite the scene. The level of odor, which it was, I mean, when we go in there, we literally have to wear SCBA tanks, like scuba tanks, like the self-containing breathing apparatus we're on our back.
Right.
Because, Richard, of the ammonia. Urine from any animal, any creature, starts off in a liquid form as an alkaline salt. And then when it is exposed to oxygen, it then converts itself to ammonia. So the level of the vapors and the gaseous vapors of ammonia that is present in that environment is enough to make you keel over and topple over.
Good Lord.
It's just, yeah, it's...
How did this woman survive in there?
I have no idea, Richard. I for the love of God, I can't figure it out. Tolerance buildup? I don't know.
Now, were the cats removed by the time you got there, or were there still cats in the house?
No, all the cats were removed in order to allow us to decontaminate and sterilize the environment. And then upon completion of our services, they're certainly brought back. Well, not all, only 6 of them are allowed back.
What are the health risks, not only to the person living there, but just anyone living in the close proximity to this woman?
You know, that's a great question. And the ammonia vapors, the toxicity from it becomes airborne. In the event that someone decides to use bleach on the contamination from the urine on the surfaces, it would be a nightmare, because bleach and ammonia is one of the primary recipes for mustard gas going back to the First World War. Now, then you have to factor in the spraying. When cats spray, there is irritability, respiratory issues. It could certainly lead to pneumonia or bronchitis. If a couple or if an individual is trying to conceive, they're trying to have children, and they occupy that environment and it hasn't been decontaminated and or sterilized properly, then there's going to be complications with these people that are trying to conceive. And it's just dangerous. It's bad. It's a public health risk, and it's something which is overlooked by a lot of people.
Now, if people want to get a hold of Crime and Trauma Scene Cleaners, where do they go?
They can contact us at info@crimescenecleaners.ca, or they can certainly call us on our toll-free number, which again is 866-724-0800.
Canada's decontamination specialists, Crime and Trauma Scene Cleaners.
The truth goes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Then, it is violently opposed. Finally, it is accepted as self-evident.
Let me just read that again. I don't know what that means.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
Hi, Sherman Skolnick bringing you news killed by the Monopoly Press. Presented 24 hours a day by the Citizens Committee to clean up the courts, 9800 South Oglesby. The Marshall Field family has been in the news regarding selling their paper, the Chicago Sun-Times. As usual, the mass media says almost nothing about the background of these ruling class sharks. Their fortune started when Marshall Field I became a partner in a wholesale dry goods house during the distress of the Civil War that forced the nation to pay the highest sums for the poorest material. This extortion was done with the collusion of government officials. The Field factories and stores made huge profits, as now, by paying wretched wages to their employees. The entire history of this family is loaded with perjury, fraud, bribing of local officials, and brutality to workers.
Media scientist Nelson Thal is here discussing the work of the late Sherman Skolnick. Did he get any exposure in the media in Chicago, for example? I mean, after he was praised by the New York Times, did he ever get featured in the Chicago Tribune or any Chicago media, his work?
Very little, because he became too radioactive, so to speak. He just was very, very dangerous. And now and then he had a couple of buddies who he befriended. He was mobile. He had a car built so that he used leg irons. And he could, using leg irons and those crutches that go around your wrist, you know, the crutches. He had
right.
Two crutches and leg irons, and he had a car built so that it was all hand controlled, the accelerator, the brake, everything. So he actually got himself mobile and drove around, and he would go to the courthouse, and he would make it. He was a younger guy then, in his 40s and 50s, and he could move around and get, even though he was in a wheelchair, he did have leg irons. And he was able to, it took time, but, you know, he got around where he had to get to. And a couple of columnists gave him coverage here and there. A lot of it would be columnists that would not reveal that he was the source, but information and that he would dig up on local guys, Racetrack McGar. And I mean, Skolnick was amazing. He did both the national conspiracies and the local conspiracies. Jesse Jackson's orange juice concession and the extortion rackets. And if you go to, I think it's skolnicksreport.org, or I can't remember, but it's a lot of his stories are still up. The overthrow of the American Republic. I wrote a column with him. It's still at rents.com called what was it called? It'll come after, but Skolnick and I wrote a column. I can't even remember the title of it. But he wrote a lot. There's a lot of his stuff people can still read at rents.com.
Right. I know that I think the first time I became aware of – sorry, go ahead.
I just remembered. The big thing was the FBI used him and his facilities during what was called the Operation Greylord. The Greylord affair, which was where the FBI put a number of top judges in jail. Some of those 60 that I mentioned, of the 60, some of those were what Sherman did, not just with Citizens Committee to clean up the courts, but the FBI used him to put some of the judges in jail, some of those 20, through what was called, people can look it up, Operation Greylord. So he worked, he was recognized by the FBI. They took his stuff and put a lot of judges in jail as well. And the Dorothy Hunt scandal he got coverage of. He was showing that Dorothy Hunt was, that the crash was, that she crashed in Chicago, the plane that crashed was all sabotage. And he wrote an extensive articles on the history of American airplane sabotage.
You should mention a little bit about who Dorothy Hunt was.
Okay, Dorothy Hunt was E. Howard Hunt's wife, and at the time of the Watergate, E. Howard Hunt gave her some private papers and very important papers to take and go back to Chicago. And as Skolnick showed and proved, what happened was they crashed the plane. They allowed the plane to crash, and Skolnick covered it and said, look, the police surrounded the plane and prevented the firemen getting and putting the fire out because they wanted her to be killed. So they let the thing burn. They held back the firemen from going, they could have put the fire out a lot earlier. But Skolnick, that was one of the big cases that got him popularity in the press in Chicago. But mostly because his stuff was so politically incorrect, after he made news in 69, it was drabs and drabs here and there, because he just was causing tremendous problems for the ruling elite, both nationally and locally.
I interviewed Dorothy Hunt and Dorothy Hunt's son, St. John Hunt, about that case. That was the who did Skolnick believe was responsible for that plane crash? That was United Airlines Flight 533.
Eventually, out of Washington. Of course, he pinned it to Daddy Bush, because Daddy Bush was in Dallas running the assassination, and Hillary Clinton was his lawyer who went in, and they had to get into the purpose of Watergate was to connect Oswald to one of the plumbers so that they could go into the JFK files and sanitize it for Daddy Bush, of all the evidence showing that he was a major player in the assassination. So Watergate was a false flag. The whole purpose was, once they showed the picture of Sturgis, one of the plumbers, and Oswald, they now could convince Sam Ervin that they should have a right to go into the sealed JFK files, because Sturgis, one of the plumbers, is connected to Oswald. That was the whole purpose of the whole Watergate break-in. And that's never discussed, but that's what Skolnick discovered. And eventually, when that comes out, probably in 50 years, it'll be too late. But that's what really was Watergate was about. That's the real truth of Watergate.
And again, Dorothy Hunt, the wife of E. Howard Hunt, he was a former CIA agent who worked for Nixon.
He worked on the Kennedy assassination. He was involved in the Kennedy assassination and working with Bush on it. And of course, the rest is history. You and I have done many, many shows on this topic.
Right, right. I was saying earlier that the first time I became aware of Skolnick was, I believe it was, you mentioned that was an area that he really delved into, that Sherman was interested in how commercial airline crashes were used as assassination. And the first time I became aware of him, you introduced me to the name Sherman Skolnick, was after the plane crash of Paul Wellstone. Who was a member of the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, and he was thinking of running right. For the Democrats, and he died in 2002.
Right.
Do you remember the Wellstone crash?
I certainly do. And that certainly was part of American history of American airplane sabotage, for sure. Just like Ron Brown's crash over in Yugoslavia somewhere in that area. It's been many years since we talked about it.
Right, it was the former Yugoslavia. That was the former Commerce Secretary, Ron Brown, under the Clinton, in the Clinton administration.
Exactly. So, Skolnick covered the gambit and was really a pioneer. He was the great pioneer in this stuff, scrubbing off the bullshit to show the truth, as he used to say. Scraping the bullshit off the truth.
Well, I know you're right. He was not politically correct. And one of his favorite targets was the Vatican, who he said had partnered with the mafia and were infiltrating all aspects of American politics.
Absolutely. And especially he fingered the Jesuits, the black popes, et cetera, that he went into that. And that got him into a lot of problems. And eventually Sherman definitely was murdered at the end, definitely was murdered when you look at how they brought about his demise. It was probably his own fault, too. What happened was he hadn't left his bedroom for 5 years. He was in his 70s. And he went to his brother's funeral and he hurt himself. He put his leg irons for the first time in a long time and they were too tight and they cut him and he developed a wound and he never looked after it and it became gangrenish, not heavily, but enough that he had to go to the hospital. Once he was in the hospital, they had him. And eventually they gave him, as he told me, look, he's going to die. He said they moved me from room to room, room to room. They gave me all sorts of drugs. And he knew he was going to – that they had poisoned him and he didn't have long to live. So he did, in fact, include himself on a death list.
Do you remember your last conversation with Sherman Skolnick?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, the last show I did with him, I have it on tape. And it was taped. And my last conversation with him was just when we got off the air. And I, as usual, we spoke so much. Sometimes we spent 10 hours on the phone regularly. We spent a lot of time on the phone. And I just basically said, I'll speak to you later. I'll see you later. And then I heard that he'd gone into the hospital. But it's important for all Americans to understand this was a great man, the great American judge buster, and he was cleaning the swamp long before President Trump, not to say anything bad about Trump, but Trump was talking about cleaning the swamp, and I'm sure Trump followed and knew about Skolnick as well, and his passing is something we should just note that he was a great, great man, went through our midst, and there won't be anybody like him again.
All right, Nelson, thanks for informing my listeners about the great Sherman H. Skolnick.
Yeah, and I think if Sherman was around, he'd say, look, he'd want to use this opportunity to tell everybody, go out and do your own legwork. Don't rely on the liars and whores of the media. Start to put together the truth of what's really going on and figure out what's happening backstage in the global theater. That's basically the message Sherman would want us to give and to give to the audience.
Seems like we could use him now more than ever.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Nelson.
Thanks, Rich. It's quite nice of you to mark this occasion this way. Thank you very much.
Okay, before I dim the lights in my little studio beneath the stairs, I'll be back in a flash to tell you about the next episode of Conspiracy Unlimited that drops Monday. If you're a fan of this podcast or my weekly radio program, The Conspiracy Show, or my YouTube channel, Strange Planet, I hope you'll consider becoming an official donor. A donation of $50 a month places you in the Star Chamber. $20 a month is the whistleblower tier, and a donation of just $10 per month makes you a truth seeker. Star Chamber and whistleblower members can participate in an exclusive monthly online chat or video conference with me, and all donors are entered into a monthly draw for Strange Planet merchandise. Any monthly amount is welcome and greatly appreciated. To become an official donor, go to patreon.com/StrangePlanet, patreon.com /strangeplanet. Coming up next on Conspiracy Unlimited, journalist Russ Baker from whowhatwhy.org is back with part two of our ongoing series on the Bush dynasty.
Reagan gets shot, and he's shot by this fellow, John Hinckley. John Hinckley, coming from Midland, Texas, the same town where Poppy Bush was. And then we find out, doing some research, that the two families knew each other, even were friendly, even shared a lawyer in common. And I don't know if this is most interesting of all, but it's certainly interesting that it turns out that the day after the shooting, there was a dinner scheduled to take place, and it was Neil Bush, the son of George H.W. Bush, was to have dinner with John Hinckley's brother.
Until then, I'm Richard Serrett. So long for now.
A new Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. Blow your mind. That is all for now. Oh, and remember to share and give a 5-star review, because we have huge egos and need love. We're like cats. We need constant petting.